I was just talking to myself and said, well, now is probably a pretty good time to... I finally got out of that horrible traffic. Oh, my gosh. A lot of people were honking at me and angry. That because I was getting off on the right side of the road. Off of the right shoulder. Because I was saying, you know, my turn is in about a mile. And they were honking it. Well, there were just a couple of people honking. I think they're just saying, you're skipping the line. That really upsets people. I understand. But yeah, it's like, no, I'm getting out of your way. Okay? I'm getting out of the way. And this is my turn up here. And there's no sensible reason why I should continue to block up this traffic when my lack of presence here will make things run ever so slightly better. You know, and people can say, well, that's just not fair. And you go, oh, so I should have stayed blocking your forward progress until the bitter end. That would have made everybody feel better. It's like, okay, I'm not going to do that. But yeah, you know, so I didn't stop you from going forward. I got out of your way. You could go my car length more forward. How about those apples, man? Isn't that progress for you? Anyway, because I was thinking about, you know, it's really hard to listen to This Week in Mormons because the impression that they're a little left-leaning. You know, what am I going to do about it? Nothing. You know. And anytime anything remotely LGBT comes up, oh, they get so excited. It's such an exciting thing for the group. You know, oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Ooh. We're so excited about getting LGBT people into our churches and into everything that we do, you know, and I don't know if it's virtue signaling. I don't know, you know, it's really hard to say what animates that excitement about it. So this is me. I am I don't like conflict, and a lot of these groups, that's their thing. That is absolutely their thing. And I liked race relations when I was younger, and we were supposed to be colorblind. I had a black friend that came over to my house, and he could moonwalk like nobody's business. I guess he was kind of into Michael Jackson. I wasn't, but that's not my thing. He did the moonwalk and all that for the talent show. It was awesome, man. And but yeah, it wasn't my thing. And I don't know if I have a problem with cultural appropriation, but I know that many black people can get really upset if you do something that they perceive is one of their things, you know, that belongs to the black culture. And, you know, so as I got older and as relations between whites and blacks got less workable. Ugh. I don't really know how to say it. Would have got less workable. I just ended up kind of avoiding them. And, you know, they say, well, you're being racist. And you're going, I'm just trying to make sure I don't get into trouble. I don't want to get into trouble. It's not, you know, it's not interesting to me. I just don't want to do it. And so the easiest way to get out of trouble is just to avoid those kinds of interactions between the races. And, you know, haven't been terribly successful. I've had people, and I try to be nice to everybody. A good friend when I was working at Eastern, his mom was Filipino, his dad was black. Interesting mix. Hopefully his family treated him pretty good. I didn't get any impression that they didn't, or at least he didn't express any. And, you know, and he would help me, I would help him. It was great. I mean, we didn't like party together, but I'm not a person that has friends. You know, I don't do what friends do, particularly, you know, and that's just me. And yeah, if I'm a stuck-up snob or a racist or whatever, if that's the perception, I don't, there's not much I can do about that. LGBTQ, yada, 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 sort of people. I used to treat them like black people. Didn't really know what to say. I just didn't want to get into it. And that's only become more magnified as they've gotten more frightening. You know, these kinds of people can suck all the air, all the oxygen out of a room by just stepping into it. You know, black people can do that too now. I live in New Mexico. I live in a part of New Mexico that doesn't have a ton of Hispanics. Other parts of New Mexico have a lot more Hispanics. You know, and that whole term is kind of weird. I know there's actually two pretty distinct groups. There are Spaniards here who can trace their ancestry in New Mexico back into the 1500s. And then there are Mexicans who are predominantly from Mexico. That's what a Mexican is. And I know, you can't use that term. And you go, they're Mexicans. Oh, you can't say that. And you go, but they're from Mexico. That's what they're called in Mexico. Hi, my name is Juan or whatever. I'm a Mexican. You know, anyway, I don't know what to say, you know. I just... I really prefer just to keep my... And I notice other people do. I've noticed people are sometimes intimidated by me. I'm a tall guy. I speak kind of loudly. I don't think I say anything that's intimidating. But I think just my bigness. I'm kind of a big guy. And my voice carrying really well. I think, you know, somebody finally said that. I never even thought about myself that way. I don't have really big, I don't really have a lot of self-esteem. I don't fight for my rights because I don't figure you know, I'm just grateful if people leave me alone, to be honest. But of course, I have jobs and employment and other situations. Not very many, because I don't do social stuff. And I think I don't do it predominantly because I just don't want to get caught in weird situations where I offend somebody or things like that. But I also don't want to... The LGBT community is a bear trap. I think going anywhere near it just invites bad things happening. Say something wrong, a weird look, you know, somebody who's obviously a guy and's got really, really gaudy, horrible makeup on, you know, trying to skew female, I guess. And, you know, and it's almost like, I just want to turn around and walk away because I'm afraid I might stare and they might go, what are you staring at? It's like, nothing. And then it's like, excuse me, you know, and it's gotten almost weird now. Excuse me, you'll acknowledge me as a person. And it's like, I don't want to acknowledge you at all. I just want to forget this ever happened, and I wish you would just let me go, you know. And then it's like, oh no, and they're gonna get in there and make an object lesson out of you, and you're going, you're beet red. You're just going, you know what? I didn't ask for any of this. I don't care. You're here. You're living. Everything's, you know. You're obviously doing what you want to do. You're still stomping the heck out of what I want to do, which is just not be here and not have this happening to me. Golly. So, yeah, this is, I've got religious issues with gays and lesbians and transgenders. I do. And I hold on to them religiously, and I'm not gonna just, you know, I'm not gonna tell you you're burning in hell, because I don't have a concept that's true. Now I don't think a person that emotes like that is going to the celestial kingdom, for instance. I don't think that's happening. But I don't know. I don't encourage my children to do that, although one of them has decided that she's transgender. And nastily so. I can't even have an innocuous conversation with her. I'm sorry. Her name is Shayna. I know she's a girl. She's my daughter. Changed her butt thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And she was a girl the whole time. I don't understand what made her make the change. I blame college and the kind of weird indoctrination that happens. She went into an art program, and I'm sorry, I'm sorry to say that most art programs are deviance factories. And I'm just sorry, you know. When I talked to her, I said, I think she should be big enough to say, I was once called Shayna, and my parents still call me Shayna, and, you know, that's okay. But it's not. Oh, my gosh. And that's her biggest thing. You're a horrible person. You abused me as a child. It's like, you know, but I've got a responsibility from God to try to inculcate my values in her. You know, now she's 31, and she won't say one nice thing about me. It's pretty painful from the standpoint of, yeah, I'm great, I'm sorry. There are terms I'm saying, you can't say that about me. I said, sure, I can. I can call you an ingrate, because that's exactly what you are, an ungrateful person. All the things that I ever did for you, and I did a lot for you. In fact, sometimes I covered for her when she was obviously lying, or when she was obviously doing something that was going to get her into trouble, you know, sometimes I would cover for her. I kind of regret that now, because she's an ingrate. Just totally ungrateful for anything she ever got from anybody. I get the impression the only reason why she talks to other members of, to her siblings and to her mother, is to try to pull them into the deviance. I don't appreciate it at all. Says, you know what? I'm trying to help my family appreciate and follow the culture that we've had for many generations. And I don't appreciate you using your place as their older sister to try to get them to just throw all this stuff out and to embrace I don't know what. And, you know, and so, yeah, if I see somebody coming down a sidewalk, and I'm on the sidewalk too, maybe a block or two or three away, if I see somebody and I go, oh no, it's a, you know, I try not to do it to black people. I try not to do it to anybody, you know, to, well, no, I can't say that. If it's somebody being flamboyantly LGBT whatever, am I going to decide I need to be someplace else? Yeah, I'm going to. Because I just don't want to get into it. I don't want to do it, you know. I'm sure they would say, you're not doing me any favors. And you're going, well, you know what? I said, guess what? I said, I'm not doing a thing to you. You can do whatever you want. You can go and you can shop in whatever store you like. You can go and do this and do that. You know, I don't run a business, so it's not like I'm going to throw you out of my business. You can come to my church, and there's not a thing I can do about it. Except just, you know, and if everybody else is just fawning over you, like everybody at church tends to do with visitors, oh, we're so glad to see you and all that, where are you from and all that, if I'm seeing somebody who's obviously flamboyantly the other way, I'm just like, you know, am I going to go out of my way? No, I'm not going to go out of my way. Can they be there? Yes. Can I stop? No. If as part of my duties as like the clerk involve interacting with them, will I? I will. If they tell me what their name is, and I'm going, is that the name that's going to be on the membership record? And they say no. And I go, well, okay. He says, I need to have both. You know, if there's a preferred first name that you have, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if they have it in there now that you can do, you can change your whole name. I don't know. If it is, I am duty bound to do it. Am I gonna try and be decent about it? Yeah. Am I gonna make comments? I hope not. Knowing though that if I'm not absolutely fantastically amazingly wonderful to them, that they have the absolute power and authority given to them by society to start screaming at me, start making accusations, and there's nothing I can do but sit there and simply take it. And I understand that, you know, they can be as mean and rude and nasty as they want to be, and there's nothing I can do except sit there and take it until they permit me to leave. And, you know, it's like, can I please detach from this? Thanks a lot. You know, you're here, you're great, you can come all the time. You can go to any place in this church that you please. Just, yeah. And what do? I says, I don't have any choice. I have to just simply smile or something, you know. You're going, but yeah, do I have to engage you in conversation? Not really. Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? I says, not really. I don't have to. I think I'm reasonably decent about these things. I think I even go a little bit beyond what a lot of my generation and my parents' generation would be willing to do. Because I just really don't want to get involved with that. You know, it's just, you can be here. I'll make whatever adjustments need to be made in the records to please you, within my power to do so, and I would just really appreciate you just kind of, you can go wherever you want to go, you can get right in my face, because you can, but yeah, this is, I am going to do my best to just kind of give you your space. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Sorry, you know. And it isn't like, you know, I have a lot of respect for other churches, because you can start another, you know, if it becomes a deal in other churches, you can just start another congregation and say, this congregation is very accepting of your kind of people, and this congregation's quote old-fashioned. And you aren't going to be treated nicely enough. Although I think they will at least say, there's a congregation for people like you. It's right over there. They believe all the same things that we do, except that we just really can't deal with, you know, that stuff. But I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we can't do that. The church just is not set up that way. Special groups can request their own congregations. You know, a lot of them are based on languages. You know, if Spanish people want to have their own congregation, that'll happen, and that's accommodated. You know, and it doesn't matter how many people there really are. It'll be accommodated somehow. And I wouldn't be surprised if enough people in Utah requested it. I don't think it's come up yet. That there will be LGBT branches. Those are smaller than the normal wards, but, you know, it just depends on how many people you have. And that, you know, I totally expect there the day to come when people who choose to identify that way, all they have to do is say, we want to have our own unit. And it's like, it'll be done. Bing! It's done. You know, but that doesn't apply to somebody like me. I'm not allowed to have that. You know, and you're saying, well, that's not fair. And you go, fairness is not a part of it. You know, City of Zion. I won't be surprised if there are LGBTQ people in the City of Zion. You know, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to lump it. And they're probably going to be able to behave however they wish. And if they want to have their own little separate part of town with just their kind of people in it, that will probably be very accommodated. Now, that's not allowed for me. You know. Oh, no. You know, because everybody knows that. You can't have a bigot ward. You can't have a bigot section of town. It's not allowed. It says, but the funny thing is, black people can have their own section of town. And they can say it's their section of town. Everybody just has to kind of say, okay, that's true. You know, the LGBTQ people want to be able to do that too, I guess. But, you know, I think there's just too much fun in making life miserable for other people. You know, so they want to, you know, well, I want to walk down their part of town, and they better treat me right. And you're going, oh my gosh. I said, trust me, if I went to your part of town, if you guys got enough that you had a part of town that was all yours, and anybody that wasn't like you went down there, you'd shout them out of that part of town. You would. It says it happens all the time. This is our place. This is our stuff. These are our institutions. How dare you think that you can ever have anything to do with us? How dare you? And it's like, wow. And it is. It's like, oh my gosh. So do I avoid those people? Yes. Do I try to live in places where those people don't really want to be? But that's become impossible now. They've become ubiquitous. You know, it's not just that you're going to have a token LGBT person or a token black person or whatever. You know, it's definitely going to be, you know, we're here, and boy, let me tell you, every law has to be altered. Every situation has to be changed to accommodate me. Because there may only be one or two or three. And it's like all the rest of us just have to kind of lump it. And I find that just so, you know, I really don't like people who are like that. It's all about me. It's all about my feelings. It's all about that. And you go, I know, I'm not allowed to have feelings because I'm a bad person, you know. And I get, you know, you're a bad person. I sure get it from my daughter. And it's like, well, you know, and I've gotten to the point where it's like, you know what? There's nothing I can do to ever stop being a bad person, except basically hand every part of myself over to you to be reworked in the way you want to be imagined. And I'm sorry, that's cruelty. That's cruel to other people. And I don't like being treated cruelly, and I don't like to see it. So I don't want to be around those people. you can say, well, they were abused for so long. And you go, you know what? People that are like me have been abused for a long time. By a lot, by, you know, and you say, well, you're white. Oh, you're so privileged. And you go, I'm sorry. White people picking on white people. Look at, is that me? Look at any movie, and you'll see plenty of it, you know, because trust me, it's not just skin color, it's class, and this and that. We've tried for a long time to say, no, you need to treat everybody the same, no matter what side of the tracks they come from, how much money they've got in their pocket, any of that. But now we can't do that. Now there's special people. There's privileged people. Based on sexual orientation, you know, it's skin color on some level, you know, and what are we supposed to do? And I know when one of those people comes to get hired at one of the university I've worked at, or one of the universities I've worked at, whatever, that they're going to get special treatment. If you don't hire them for something, you have to provide a lot of justification for not having done it. The easiest thing to do is just to hire them. Whether they're qualified or not, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. And you go, wow. You know, wouldn't it be fun to be able to have a job for which you're not qualified, but for which everybody's scared to death to bring up the fact that you're not, you know, that, I'm sorry, you're just not doing the job we need to have done. And it's like, but, oh, you're untouchable. If we decided to hire you, you get to have that job for as long as you want it. And if you're no good at it, well, we're just going to have to wait till you decide you want to do something else. You want to move someplace else. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's happening with my daughter, Shayna, and the fact that she's a guy, and the fact that everybody at the place where she's at and where she works is scared to death of what they will be accused of being, that some government agency will come and take away their ability to do what they do. It's a farm for the developmentally disabled, a residential kind of live-in farm, and they could have their, you know, and I'm sure it's run off of mostly government money, you know. People who are handicapped have a certain amount of money tied to them. And some states give a lot of money, some states don't give much, like New Mexico. You know, the state could just decide that if you weren't being accommodating of Shayna's sort of people, or you didn't treat them right, which is pretty much letting them be there for as long as they want to be there, even if it's like, I don't think this is compatible with our mission. This is almost kind of a quasi-religious organization. It's kind of, oh, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I don't know if being transgendered is really compatible with it. But once you let somebody in there, Shayna came as a girl, and she transitioned while she was there. And I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're absolutely terrified to do anything about her. Even if she was being a worthless, and I'm not saying she is, but if she was being a worthless volunteer, and didn't contribute to the society, to their community, the way she should, I think they'd be terrified to death to get rid of her for fear that there would be a retaliation. The way she treats me, it's like, I don't want you to have any, I don't want you to get near me, because I'm afraid that I'd go to jail if I didn't treat you exactly the way you wanted to be treated. He says, so yeah, you're distance right now, and I'll never get near you because I hate you. Can I be honest? It has quite a big silver lining to the whole fact of, I really don't want to get involved with anybody like that. Who can destroy my life? And could do it just for fun. And there's nothing I could do except just sit there and go, okay, I guess I'm going to jail. You know. Bend over and kiss her butt, and you go, I'm sorry, I just can't bring myself to it. Which is what everybody would say. It says, well, then why don't you just give in to every single demand she could ever think of? Which is how most people treat those guys. If they come into your church must change to accommodate whatever they want accommodated for. And if anybody were to say anything, or say, you know what, this isn't even what our community is about. You know, you're asking us to change our doctrine, for instance. I don't think there would be any way to actually stop them from making that happen. That's the power that's there. The only thing that's made that not happen yet is is the fact that most of them feel really alienated by the doctrine of the church, and they haven't figured out that all they have to do is sit there and say you're not treating them right, and we have to bend over backwards, including probably changing our doctrine, to make sure that nothing bad happens to, you know, our tax exempt status, the fact that we still get to have a building that actually belongs to the church, as opposed to, you know, not belonging to the church anymore. And people go, well, that will never happen. You go, you know what, it already did happen back in the 1800s around polygamy. The U.S. government. This is the U.S. government, you know? And you would think the U.S. government of the past was actually a little more cogent about the Constitution. That sucker got thrown down the toilet. You know, it was all about, no, those temples do not belong to you anymore. They are now seized property of the United States of America. The U.S. government, or whatever, the state government. And the church had to pay rent on the buildings that they built, on land that they owned originally. You know. And you're going, yeah. It says, that's why our church, especially, is so gosh golly careful. And yeah, it's never going to happen. Anything that even smacks of bigotry to a specialized group, we're going to do whatever they say. And I think we're being very quiet and very, very, let's not cause any big waves. Because we've always been kind of lucky. Most people, if they decide they're gay or lesbian, or bisexual, whatever, they already don't want to have anything to do with the church. Because they just feel uncomfortable there. Very sensible, you know. The transgenders, probably even more so. You know, our whole thing on family, and we actually have a statement. The Proclamation on the Family talks about the eternal nature of gender. Whatever you were born as, that was what you were from the very beginning. And, you know, and so they just tend to not want to have anything to do with the church. My daughter, that was one of the first actions, I guess, she took when she decided she was going to do this, was she had her name taken off the records of the church. You know, and it's like, okay, great. You know, I said, now, you know, I'm kind of sad that you've totally spit on and walked away from the culture that bred you and birthed you. I says, but okay, you know. I says, I would prefer you to be out of the church than to be sitting there in the church making us do cartwheels in front of you, and you having a great old time saying, look at what I can make these people do. You know? Because I don't know how your normal ward or stake, how your bishop or your stake president would deal with that. I really don't know. And I'm grateful that I don't have one of those callings, because I think I would get excommunicated for following what I believe was the attitude of Christ towards such things, because I wasn't accommodating enough. And they're going, yeah, this isn't, trust me, it wouldn't be them getting excommunicated, it'd be me. You're not being kind enough. And it's like, okay, well, all right, here's my temple recommend. I'm not worthy to be in this church. I don't know. I guess I got Christ wrong. All that stuff that Christ ever said in the scriptures, that's incorrect and never to be uttered. You know, okay. Sorry, you know, I can't, yeah, it'd be better for my family to divorce me and embrace the deviance. Yeah, absolutely, man, that's what it's all about, baby. So I do, so what do? I avoid it, and I think I'm going to continue to avoid it. And they say, well, you can't do that. And you go, then you can't call me to a position where I have to deal with it. I said, I'm okay with being a clerk. You know, that's whatever. I says, but yeah, I says, I'm not going there, folks. Sorry. 63 miles, 3 bars. I think I may be okay. It looks like the place is still open. I didn't know it stayed open so late. Wow. That's amazing. Now the gas prices seem high. I'm going to go ahead and take it on faith that I can get lower gas prices someplace else. Down the road. So yeah, it says, and that's kind of where it comes down to, and you go, you know what, who's going to stop you guys from living and behaving and doing and screaming and yelling and telling everybody else in the world that doesn't just smooch your butt that they're all evil. You can do whatever you want, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it except sit there and go, yep, I'm evil. And I'm already pretty good at it. I said, no, I'm a pretty evil guy. I'd keep your distance from me, and I'll try to return the favor by you not having to deal with me. I'm just not interested in doing it, and I know there's no place in decent society for me, okay? I know there's not. So yeah, if I go to church, you can behave however you like at my church, and I have to lump it, or something bad will happen to me. He says, nothing bad will happen to you. You're fine. You're wonderful. He says, good for you. Good for you. You know, you changed your gender and that is a perfectly wonderful and amazing thing to do. Good job. Glad you're here. So, yeah. Well, you know, since you're here, how I feel about it is irrelevant. My feelings are nothing. My feelings are not allowed to say the word. My feelings are less than dirt. Other people's feelings are absolutely, do whatever you want. Who's gonna say anything against him? Except us begging you to be kind to us and not make our lives a living hell. And, you know, it's totally up to you. It's totally up to you whether we can have a pleasant life or whether it's gonna go badly. And I find anybody having that kind of power to be nasty. Says, so you know what? If you let me pass by the street, if you let me turn the other way and just say, I don't want to have to deal with this. Thank you so much for just letting me just not get wrapped up in it. Please be kind to me. Don't force me to do the pronoun, the whole preferred pronoun thing. You know, please don't force me to do that. That is so mean-spirited to me. You know, I didn't have to do that a couple of years ago. If you get my gender wrong, that's my fault, and I'm a bad person. Okay, can I just live with the consequences of not doing what my masters tell me to do? Can I do that? Can I live like that? And you go, you know, that's really the only thing I've ever hoped for. And, you know, I've always been, and most people are potential targets for the elite. You're just the latest one. And I've always been quite grateful that the elites that got to live in the nice houses in the big part of town didn't decide to make my life particularly miserable. You know, they didn't go out of their way to do it. They didn't come into town, find me, single me out, and decide to ruin my life, which I know that powerful people can do. I'm grateful that I just stayed small and tried to be unobtrusive. I know I'm big and I got a loud voice. And it's, and that may be threatening to people. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. You know, I apologize for existing. I apologize for living. And I know that you can freely dance on my grave when I'm dead and desecrate it all you want to, because you can. That's what elite people can do. So, you know, I just hope that while you're enjoying your elite status, that you don't have to make my life a living hell. The sad part is I see a lot of evidence that seems to be part of being elite, is making other people squirm. I hope you don't choose to, but I know you can do whatever you like, and I don't know. I hope you enjoy your special privileges, and enjoy it without smearing it in my face. I implore your kindness, and hopefully what you would have in a kind nature, to say, I've got the upper hand, I'm enjoying it, and I don't have to make this poor wretch worry about it anymore. Thank you. Enjoy your privilege. And I'll just try to stay out of your way, okay? Thank you. Okay, that'll do.